You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site, and the Fansided Network. Today's episode, I want to cover a variety of roster-related things, the Ben Simmons saga, the latest on that front, a couple of minor kind of housekeeping-type items, and then talk about the key takeaways from Summer League now that that's all wrapped up and in the past. What can we take away from that? But I do want to spend the first couple segments here today talking about the acquisition of Patrick Beverley. I talked about his fit on Wednesday's show and why I think he's a fantastic fit for the roster. But let's talk about the roster itself. What does the roster look like now? How many spots are left? How much money do they have left to spend? And what does the Beverley addition mean for how Gerson Rosas in the front office can fill out the rest of the roster? What happens next for this team? So I want to hit all that here off the top before we get to the Summer League conversation, also Simmons and some of that stuff here early in the show. So that'll be today. If you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, that of course includes Apple as well as Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, so the Timberwolves earlier this week made a trade, talked about all about this on Wednesday show. So if you missed my total analysis on the fit of Patrick Beverley with the Wolves roster, please go back and listen to that show because I guess in a nutshell, I love it. I think Patrick Beverley adds everything that the Wolves need in terms of defense, toughness, on-ball defense, specifically perimeter defense, the ability to knock down open shots. He's a lower usage point guard. He doesn't need the ball in his hands as often as Ricky Rubio did to be successful and impactful as a member of the rotation. And even though he's a lower usage point guard, he doesn't have to function as a point guard offensively. He can run the pick and roll, but his primary role on offense is going to be as a catch and shoot guy with either D'Angelo Russell or Anthony Edwards or Karl-Anthony Towns or maybe Jaden McDaniels operating the offense and Beverley playing off the ball. For all those reasons, I think he's a great fit. Throw in the fact that the Wolves didn't add any salary. They got off of Culver and Hernan Gomez, two players who weren't going to be in the rotation this year, and acquired a guy who's going to play 20-24 minutes a game. Likely as a backup point guard, but is going to play heavy minutes, crunch time minutes with this Wolves starting rotation. And anytime you can trade, I think I said this on Twitter, anytime you could trade two non-rotation guys for a rotation guy without adding any money, especially, you do it. And another thing here that hasn't maybe been talked about as much is it freed a roster spot up. So now the Wolves have an extra spot to play with. So they've got 11 guys under contract for this year, not including the two-way players. Remember, two-way players do not count against the roster max. So there's a 15-player roster max plus two two-way players. The Wolves have 11 guys under contract. They have cap holds for two restricted free agents in Jordan McLaughlin and Jared Vanderbilt. That brings them to 13. They are going to bring Leandro Bolmaro in this year. And that was one of the, I guess, housekeeping type notes that he was in the Twin Cities this week. There still hasn't been an official announcement by the team that he's joining the roster for this next year, but he has been in town this week. That was reported, I think, first by Darren Wolfson of KSTP and Score North on Twitter, that he was in town. And we know he was in town briefly before the Olympics as well. So Bolmaro's in town. He brings the roster to 14, assuming he signs. That leaves one open spot if McLaughlin and Vanderbilt both come back. If they don't, then obviously they would have a couple of spots. And I want to get into that conversation here in a minute. But it gives the Wolves some flexibility. It gives them the capability to take back more players than they send out in a trade moving forward. Or, of course, if they run into a little bit of a roster crunch, it's always nice to leave a spot open in case there's an injury or something like that leading into training camp or throughout preseason. It gives the Wolves the ability to pull from, the pool of veterans that might still be free agents or whatever that might be, or to maybe sign a non-roster guy as part of training camp. As far as we know, I believe the only Exhibit 10 contract signee is Isaiah Miller, who we'll talk about here in a little bit as well. The point guard who played well in Summer League. Again, Exhibit 10 means that he's basically a priority G League player. He gets a bonus to stick with the G League team, and usually that means they get an invite to training camp, and he played really well in Summer League, so he'll likely be in camp with the Wolves. Maybe a player like that, if they bring in anybody else, maybe a career G Leaguer type player, maybe somebody else that stuck out to them in Summer League, although I'm not really sure there was anybody besides the guys we expected to play well that the Wolves would take a serious look at. But players like that who perhaps could get brought in, to fill that last roster spot if necessary. I don't think the Wolves are going to bend over backwards to try and fill it unless they need to. So all that to say, what this trade did is it freed up that additional roster spot. Now the question is, what do they do from a cap space perspective? We know that the Rubio Prince trade back on draft night, or draft afternoon, I guess, more accurately, freed up a little bit of cap space. The Wolves got some cash back from the Cavs, and that got their cap space to roughly $9.5 million going into the meat of the offseason. And then they took back almost another million. Basically, it was like 900 some thousand in this deal. So trading out the Culver and Hernan Gomez salaries and bringing back Beverly added a little bit to their books. So they've got ballpark $8.5 million. I think it's like 8.4 or something million left under the cap. It's going to be really challenging for them to add both Jordan McLaughlin and Jared Vanderbilt to fit them within that amount of cap space. Now, we also know nobody else virtually has cap space either. So I think the most likely scenario is the Wolves are able to get Jared Vanderbilt back on a multi-year deal and bring him in. Maybe it's 2-3 years and they're able to make that work under the cap. And then make a run at McLaughlin, maybe veterans minimum, maybe a little bit more. You feel bad for J-Mac because he's earned something more than the minimum at this stage, but nobody's jumping at the opportunity to pay him more than that. And so maybe he does get back with Minnesota, but if they're unable to keep both McLaughlin and Vanderbilt, and all it takes is one team to say, yeah, we'll sign you Jordan McLaughlin for more than the minimum, and he's gone. And the Wolves played this game last offseason and got to bring him back on a second two-way deal. That's obviously not an option this year. So if nobody else steps up and signs Jordan McLaughlin, he very well could be back in Minnesota at something close to the vet minimum. And that would basically, those two plus Bolmaro, and Bolmaro's cap hold is, I think it's like $3.5 million or something based on his draft slot from 2020. Then they're basically capped out. They've got the one roster spot left, and that would be that. If McLaughlin goes elsewhere, then the Wolves probably look to some other veteran guard to fill out the roster. I looked at this at Dunking with Wolves a couple of weeks ago at some names that are out there that I would consider if I were the Wolves. Now, they're not all going to apply here because some of them aren't. Well, first of all, because I think the Wolves at this point are most likely looking for another guard. That would be the best case scenario, right? And secondly, because if they bring back Vanderbilt, they're basically only going to have minimum contracts to play with, right? If they do sign Vanderbilt to something that eats up a good chunk of that $8.5 million in cap space. So I want to talk about a couple of those names, and then I want to talk a little bit more about Ben Simmons here in a minute. But again, I think if the Wolves bring back Vanderbilt, it's either McLaughlin or other random vet, well, not random, but other veteran who's out there for something close to the vet minimum to round out the roster and then keep one roster spot open. So Vanderbilt, McLaughlin / other free agent, Bolmaro, that gets the roster to 14. There's one open spot, and I think the Wolves go into training camp with that spot open to perhaps facilitate a trade or to keep it open in case of emergency, in case they need to add another player. So next segment, let's talk about a couple names that I like that are still out on the free agent market that the Wolves could look at. And this is also, these could be possibilities if Vanderbilt goes elsewhere. If somebody else gives Vanderbilt a solid offer and he ends up signing somewhere else, some of these options might be more viable in that scenario versus where we sit today, which I think it's more likely than not that Vanderbilt's back in Minnesota. So we'll get to that next year, and we'll talk a little bit about Simmons and kind of where that sits. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo equals make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th NFL season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right on down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 100% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. All right, let's talk about a couple of free agent names that I like that are still out there as possibilities. And again, these aren't all things are not equal here, right? Like, I wouldn't spend $8 million on all these guys, really any of them, I guess. And I don't think the Wolves could get all of them for the minimum either. Just depending on what the situation is, whether if they don't bring Vanderbilt back, there's a couple names that are more likely. If they do, then we turn to some other names. So just generally speaking, some of the more attractive names out there to me, one is Etuan Moore. He was on the Phoenix Suns last year, was a fringe member of the rotation for most of the season. He appeared in 7 playoff games. He's about to turn 33, believe it or not, which is feels crazy. But he was somebody that Tom Thibodeau really liked. Tibbs coached him back in Chicago and tried to bring him in free agency. He ended up signing a big 4-year deal with New Orleans back, I think it was 2016. Was a big part of the Pelicans rotation there for a few years. And then the last couple seasons, he's seen less and less playing time. He's a decent defender. He's not a fantastic defender, but he can guard both guard positions at a decent level. He's a pretty good shooter. He's really more of an undersized shooting guard and, can run the point. He could be a backup option, behind D'Angelo Russell. He's maybe less attractive now that they traded for Patrick Beverley. I think I initially wrote about this before the Beverley trade. But he could play both guard spots. And if McLaughlin doesn't come back, say the Wolves signed Vanderbilt and McLaughlin goes elsewhere, a veteran deal for a guy like Etuan Moore, a vet minimum deal for a guy like Moore, he's your third point guard, he's your third shooting guard, whatever, fourth shooting guard, that could make some sense. Last year, he shot only 31% on three, but he had been better than 37% for each of his 4 years with the Pelicans. For his career, he's just a shade under 39% from deep. So he's not a pure point guard option, but he'd be a nice insurance option. Remember, Beverly only played 50-some games last year. He gets hurt pretty frequently. That's the biggest drawback to him is his injury issues. And so Etuan Moore could be a really intriguing is maybe not the right word, a pretty good fit as an emergency point guard, backup combo guard type guy behind Russell, behind Patrick Beverley. And then also you've got McKinley Wright, the two-way player as well. So I like Etuan Moore's potential fit with the Wolves. Another name in a similar vein would be Langston Galloway, another former Phoenix Suns player who's really more of a combo guard. He's only 6'1", but he's basically a shooting guard. He doesn't typically play point. He doesn't run the offense very often. But he had the start of his career with the Knicks, of course, spent 3 years with the Pistons after signing a pretty sizable free agent deal. And then he was very similar to Moore, was a fringy member of the Suns rotation last year. He actually only appeared in 2 playoff games. He's not a good defender, which is the biggest issue, but he's a great shooter. He over the past 2 seasons, he's made over 40% of his threes, and for his career, he's 37%. He's again, it's a depth addition. There's some overlap and redundancy with what Jalen Noel brings to the table, and Noel's also an extremely affordable option with some upside. But adding a veteran shooter type to the fringe of the rotation, or not even the fringe of the rotation, to the end of the bench as an emergency option, if there's injury issues, is not the worst thing. And he can run the offense in a pinch. I mean, I think at that point, you'd rather have Noel doing it anyway. But Galloway would be an option as a value type addition this offseason. So both he and Etuan Moore, for me, would be vet minimum type signings if they bring back Vanderbilt and if McLaughlin goes somewhere else. On the flip side, if Vanderbilt doesn't come back, if he ends up going somewhere else, Paul Millsap's still out there. And Millsap was, again, a name that Tom Thibodeau was after when he ran the Wolves front office. It was summer of 2017. The Wolves ultimately added Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson. They traded for Jimmy Butler. They traded away Ricky Rubio. And they made a run at Paul Millsap. It was like the Wolves, the Nuggets, and I think the Celtics that all wanted Millsap. He ended up signing in Denver for 3 years, $90 million, and then came back to the Nuggets last year in a 1 year, $10 million deal. But I mean, he's 36 and the depth of the Nuggets rotation, they brought in Jamichael Green. I mean, they didn't need Millsap as much by the end of the year. He was only playing 12 minutes a game in the playoffs. And the Nuggets, of course, lost in the second round. It was a disappointing end to the season for them. This offseason, the Nuggets brought in Jeff Green on a 2-year deal. Side note, I would never do that over Paul Millsap if I were the Nuggets. But they brought in Jeff Green. Millsap's still a free agent. And surely he'd like to win a title, and he's probably going to sign somewhere where that's more feasible. But if the Wolves could offer him something of a role, and now, Wancho's gone, so that takes away another player to compete with for minutes at the four. And if Vanderbilt ends up leaving, Millsap could come in and be, if you could start him at the four, put McDaniels at the three and bring Beasley off the bench, or you bring Millsap off the bench as kind of your third big, and him and Naz Reid can a little bit of overlapping skill sets there, I guess, but those guys can kind of be at the four and the five off the bench. Millsap can mix in. He's a great fit next to Towns. He's still a solid defender for his age. But I think this is certainly only possible if Vanderbilt goes elsewhere, The market's dried up. There's not really cap space anywhere. So if Millsap would rather accept a vet minimum deal and go sign with another team, you know, the Warriors or somebody that he's got a shot to win a title this year, great. He could do that. Or he could probably get paid a few million more, come to Minnesota, and still be part of a team that is up and coming and thinks they could be a playoff team this year, similar to what the Nuggets were when he signed in Denver 4 years ago initially. Now, of course, 4 years ago, he was in a different spot. He wasn't quite to the point of, hey, I got to win a title before I retire, where he is now. But it'd be a similar sort of situation. He could be a part of another, you know, not even a rebuild, but a team that's ready to catapult themselves from, you know, a cellar-dwelling team to a playoff team. And he very well could do that in Minnesota. So to be clear, there aren't any clear rumors at this point connecting the Wolves and Millsap. We know they've been interested in the past. There were rumors that the Wolves were interested last offseason. Gerson Rosas was interested in Millsap before he went back to Denver. So I think this would have to... This would have to mean Vanderbilt is gone and nobody else has the space to sign Millsap, and Millsap would prefer a little bit more money and the opportunity for minutes in Minnesota than a more of a fringe rotation role and less money for a true champion or a finals contender. So again, chips have to fall in the right place for that to happen, but I like the fit. I don't think it's crazy. If Vanderbilt ends up somewhere else, that could entirely be a realistic possibility. Okay, related to Ben Simmons, there's not really much new out there other than, you know, more rumors that he's not going to get traded in the next 6 weeks. Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report said that the, quote, overwhelming sense is that Simmons will be back in Philadelphia when training camp starts, which will be weird. In some ways, shades of the Jimmy Butler thing several years ago in Minnesota, and then ultimately Butler was traded, what, 12 games into the season, something like that? He was traded in, like, mid-November, so basically a month into the season. Maybe that's what ends up happening with Ben Simmons. Somewhat ironically, you know, out of Philadelphia, whereas Butler went into Philadelphia that year. So maybe there's a situation where camp opens, you know, the as we get into the season, remember, guys who are acquired by their current teams in the offseason are then able to be traded after, you know, 60 days after having been acquired. And so there's a few more players that the Sixers could acquire in exchange for Simmons as we get into the season. So at this stage, that seems entirely possible. You know, the Wolves aren't likely to necessarily be in a better spot to trade for Ben Simmons in a few months. The only real player that falls into the category of suddenly becoming available would be Patrick Beverley. And there, I mean, a Ben Simmons trade isn't going to hinge on Patrick Beverley, period. I mean, he's a nice addition if Philadelphia wants to still be competitive after trading away Ben Simmons. But the trade's not going to happen because of Patrick Beverley either being or not being available. It seems like the most likely, and Jake Fisher talks about this at Bleacher Report, the thing that Sixers are waiting for is still Damian Lillard. And there's always a chance the Wolves could get involved in a three-team deal if Portland decides to punt on the season and, you know, the Wolves could horn their way in and be the team getting Simmons, whereas Philadelphia gets Damian Lillard. I mean, Philly doesn't care where they send Simmons either. I mean, both Portland and Minnesota are in the Western Conference, so they don't care. So that, to me, is the best possibility for the Wolves, is if they can be the third team in such a deal and be the team landing Simmons. There were some rumors suggesting the Warriors were trying to do exactly that to land Simmons, whereas Portland would be sending Lillard to Philadelphia. So you can bet that Rosas is working on that angle. It's pretty unlikely it happens before the season. I think it's pretty unlikely that it happens, period, to Minnesota, unless the Wolves get off to a bad start and then perhaps say, okay, this isn't working. We're willing to include D'Angelo Russell. We're willing to include Jaden McDaniels. And then perhaps Rosas just says, hey, this is my Hail Mary. We can at least make the playoffs with Ben Simmons on the team. Let's shake things up. But sitting here today, and I know that there's some ridicule for Rosas talking about this a couple of weeks ago in the media, but the Wolves need to see what they have. They need to actually get their healthy players on the court and see how good they can be. And there's this crazy, like, national narrative that ignores the fact that the Wolves have not all played together. I don't know if anybody saw this. Patrick Beverley, there's this weird rumor that started, I think it was Ryan Hollins, the former Timberwolves player, who tweeted something about, could the Lakers be a possibility for Patrick Beverley if he's bought out by Minnesota? Why would the Wolves buy out Patrick Beverley? Why would they have traded for him if that was the thing they were looking at doing? That makes absolutely no sense. It wouldn't free them up really any cap space, you know, maybe a very minimal amount. But what would they do with that cap space if they were to buy out Patrick Beverley? Why would they trade two guys to get Patrick Beverley? They didn't shed any salary. They actually took on more salary by making the trade. So that's just, it's not even a real rumor. That's something that a former player who either didn't take the time to look at the salaries or doesn't understand it threw out there. And for some reason, a couple of these aggregation sites picked it up and talked about, oh, would the Lakers add Patrick Beverley? It's not happening. The Wolves are not buying out Patrick Beverley. There's a better chance the Wolves trade for Bradley Beal in the next 6 weeks than that they buy out Patrick Beverley. It's just not happening. So all that to say, I put this somewhat national, you know, across the board ignorance to the fact that the Wolves think that they can be decent this year and have reason to believe that, right? With the fact that they were slightly above 500 with Russell and Towns playing together last year, with still an unsettled roster around them and a brand new coach who started coaching midseason. That's in the same category as the Pat Bev getting bought out conversation. It's just people not paying attention and just saying things that sound good. But the Wolves think that they are a fringe playoff team as currently constructed. And then with a little bit of improvement from Karl-Anthony Towns, from D'Angelo Russell, from, you know, full season of Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, this could be more than a fringe playoff team this year. So I really think the only way Simmons ends up in Minnesota in the next couple of months is if the season gets off to a really rough start and Rosas just says, all right, you know, screw it. Let's just pull the trigger on this deal and maybe overpay, you know, quote unquote overpay. It might be hard to do given what Morey's allegedly asking, but give up more than Rosas is saying he wants or is likely to want to give up for Ben Simmons to shake things up and hopefully save the season and probably save his job here moving forward. So anyway, we'll see if any more tangible Ben Simmons rumors pop up here in the next couple of weeks. I'm betting we'll keep hearing rumors. I'm also betting that nothing will actually happen, at least anything of substance on that front. Let's talk about Summer League takeaways and put a bow on Las Vegas Summer League and put it to bed once and for all, or I guess at least for the next 11 months or whenever next year's will be. First, though, let's talk about rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Save time and money with using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps, from motor oil to even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Let's also talk about our fantastic friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Tastes exactly like a candy bar. It does not taste like your typical run-of-the-mill protein bar. It's delicious. There's tons of flavors to choose from, including some new limited edition flavors that keep cropping up. Currently, there's 9 kind of staple flavors. Of those, coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, cookies and cream are all my favorites. You can actually try all the flavors with a mixed box. You'll get 2 of each of the 9 main flavors. And not only are they the best tasting protein bars, but they are legit healthy. Check out the macros in these. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180 calories per bar, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar per bar, and just 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors are all tasty. They're all healthy. Order today. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team that recently just dominated in Tokyo. So there you go. Be just like U.S. track and field. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, let's go ahead and talk about Summer League. The Timberwolves, of course, finished Summer League with a 4-1 record. They won their first 4 games. They did not make the championship game due to the point differential tiebreaker, and instead faced off against the Pelicans in, I guess you could call it the third place game of 2 4-0 teams. And they were terrible in the 5th game. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday's show, but Jalen Noel, Jaden McDaniels did not play. I want to start by talking about those two and then talk about the overall takeaways for the Wolves. Neither one of them was named to the first or second team in Las Vegas, which is just insanity. They both should have been on a team. Jalen Noel was fifth in scoring in the entire Summer League. He averaged, and that includes Tyrese Maxey, who only played 2 games, and Desmond Bane, who only played 2 games. So guys that played 4 or more games, he was 3rd in scoring. He averaged 22.5 points a game on 44.4% shooting, 35.5% from outside the arc. He was 94% from the free throw line, averaged over 5 rebounds per game, 2.8 assists per game, a steal per game, had a, it just makes no sense to me why he didn't make one of the teams. But of course it literally doesn't matter, but it's just, it's frustrating. Jaden McDaniels, his numbers were a little bit less impressive from, you know, I guess what media typically goes off of for those types of awards, 16.3 points per game. Although he shot 49% from the field, he was only 28% from three, but he made all of his free throw attempts, 6.5 rebounds a game, more than 2 assists per game as well. He also had some, you know, blocks and steals mixed in there, and just had a, you could argue he was better all around than Jalen Noel was. The numbers just weren't quite as gaudy and the 3-point shooting wasn't quite as good. But because of the way he impacts games, he was overlooked and neither one of those guys made the Las Vegas Summer League first or second team, which is ridiculous. Part of my overall takeaways, though, was that both of those guys did exactly what they were asked. Jaden McDaniels did all the little things, plus he improved his ability on the ball. Offensively, right? With the ball in his hands, trying to create for his own himself and for others. And he did that, you know, more for himself than for others, but that's what the Wolves wanted him to do. They wanted him to be aggressive, to get into the paint, to try and score at the basket, get fouled, and continue to be solid defensively, play with energy. He did those things. He did exactly what the Wolves asked of him. Jalen Noel, same thing. He was asked to initiate more offense, to create for others. In addition to hunting his own shot, he did that as well. He also, the intensity improved defensively. And that's the biggest thing for Noel. We knew he could play some point guard. We knew he could initiate offense a little bit based on what we saw last year when he was pressed into duty as basically a backup point guard. And he did that a little bit at University of Washington a couple years ago, too. So we knew he could do that to some extent. We have not seen him defend. He didn't really defend in college. He didn't really defend his first 2 years in the pros. But we saw the effort. And the Summer League team across the board, I talked about this on a previous show, but the effort was very impressive that the Wolves Summer League coaching staff got their guys to play as hard as they did on the defensive end of the floor up until really the last game when everybody just kind of fell apart. But the first four games, including Jalen Noel, you know, Noel wasn't quite Isaiah Miller. He wasn't McKinley Wright. He wasn't Nathan Knight, but he was a solid defensive guy in the perimeter. He was getting up in people's faces. He was playing up on the ball. He was providing ball pressure instead of sitting back and getting beat off the dribble or allowing himself to get screened off really easily. It was a solid defensive performance all the way around for Jalen Noel. And that was the biggest question mark for him. Also in terms of roster guys, Nathan Knight was mostly what we expected. You know, he had that great first game and then maybe wasn't quite as impressive the rest of the time. I think he had one other decent, like close to double-double performance, but he looks the part. Right, he looks the part as a big that can defend the pick and roll, that can switch guard multiple positions and be a decent role guy on offense as well. You know, he didn't show much shooting touch, but theoretically he can stretch the floor a little bit. That's a skill he can continue to develop. But he looks the part as a guy who can play some as a backup big at the NBA level and not hurt you too much. McKinley Wright was as advertised. You know, the offensive game needs some work. He hit a couple of nice deep open threes that if he could do that with some consistency, he can be a legit, you know, backup NBA point guard. He could find himself getting more opportunities this year, especially if Jordan McLaughlin doesn't end up coming back. If the Wolves end up adding an Etuan Moore or something, McKinley Wright could get more of an opportunity to play backup point guard minutes for the Wolves this year as a two-way guy, just similar to McLaughlin, you know, 2 years ago in the 19-20 season when he got more opportunity than expected and did a lot with it as that year went on. But McKinley Wright was basically what was to be expected. Isaiah Miller to me is the most intriguing name. I know I keep bringing him up, and I mentioned him before Summer League got going as a guy I was really excited to watch, and he did not disappoint. He was possibly better than I expected, was fantastic defensively and fearless offensively. There's no outside shot there. He doesn't have a jumper, which is an issue. But he's not afraid to get into the paint, get into guys, try and draw fouls, be physical. He defensively is an absolute bulldog. And that's exactly what the Wolves need, is those types of guys in the perimeter. Now, he's not going to get a minimum contract and jump McKinley Wright on the depth chart, you know, by getting a guaranteed deal with Wright on a two-way. I don't think that's likely. If the Wolves completely strike out with McLaughlin and others in free agency, there's always the possibility they give Wright a contract similar to what they did with Jalen Noel and Naz Reid, where they give him, you know, 2, 3, 4 years partially guaranteed, put him in an actual roster spot, and then give Isaiah Miller a two-way. That's a possibility. And if they strike out in McLaughlin, if they strike out, if they don't bring in an Etuan Moore, another veteran guard type player, don't be shocked if that's what they end up doing, is converting McKinley Wright from a two-way to a partially guaranteed deal, exactly what they did to Naz Reid a couple of years ago when they bumped McLaughlin into a two-way deal. In this scenario, they'd be bumping Miller into a two-way deal. So keep that on your radar as a real possibility. And based on what we saw from Miller, I don't hate that. I mean, he's going to come in and defend. You know that that's what he's going to do. And McKinley Wright, I think, showed enough to give him the Jordan McLaughlin type two-way, you know, or I guess he's already on the two-way, but the Naz Reid type partially guaranteed contract. I think that there's enough there. But that would be, to me, the only hesitation the Wolves would have is, can McKinley Wright, should we hand him this contract at this stage or not? Anyway, I think it's more likely they'd certainly rather bring back McLaughlin and just kind of roll, you know, move forward with things as they are. And perhaps Isaiah Miller, you know, he probably spends the year with the Iowa Wolves, but it also wouldn't surprise me if another team comes calling to put him on a two way or to maybe elevate him to an NBA roster because of what he showed in summer league. So be interested to see how the end of the roster shakes out, but good on Isaiah Miller and McKinley Wright for making this a conversation. And also for Jaden McDaniels and Jalen Noel for doing exactly what was asked of them as part of the summer league process. They both played extremely well and it was great to see that. Okay, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, we'll be back early next week, talk about any other rumors that come up and get into some other off-season conversations. And so we'll be back on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend. A reminder that you can follow this program anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple as well as Spotify, Google, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, and at B Beacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. A reminder, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Have a great weekend.